Welcome back to Hard Factor 9213 Nigeria. In for Herring Pod Harcourt, I'm Dio. 10 minutes gun past 5 p.m. Conversation does continue right now. And I imagine you're very much aware that about 6 days ago, I suppose, or thereabouts, the ban on Twitter was lifted by the federal government of Nigeria. And there's been a lot of reaction and response to that situation. Plenty of discussions about it. However, the last may not have been heard as far as the lifting of the ban on Twitter, based on what the federal government claims is some agreement reached with Twitter, the organization. Now, one of such bodies or organizations still asking questions as far as the ban on Twitter, albeit lifted right now, is Serap. And on its official Twitter handle, Serap tweeted this some days ago, at Serap NG. Following the decision by the Buhari administration to lift the Twitter ban from 13th January 2022, we urge President Buhari to immediately pay reparations to the victims of the illegal ban. Now, the ban is a travesty. It should never have happened in the first place. We'll see in court to seek orders for adequate compensation and guarantees of non-repetition for the Nigerian victims of the illegal Twitter ban. The Buhari administration has a legal obligation to effectively redress the consequences of the wrongful act of Twitter suspension. No doubt about it, there are several talking points as far as this matter is concerned. Do the victims of this Twitter ban deserve any compensation, as is being requested by Serap at this time? Also, who qualifies as a victim? What's the point of this suit, by the way, especially since the Twitter ban has been lifted? And these and other related matters we're going to be discussing at this time. And I do hope he'll provide some answers to this. Joining me via phone for this conversation is Deputy Director with Serap, Kola Wole Oluwadare. Kola, good evening to you. You're welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Dio. I'm happy to be here.
And Happy New Year as well. Is this our first conversation this year, I suppose?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. All right, great. Happy New Year to you then, and all the other great guys at Serap.
Yeah, thank you. Same to you.
All right, so let's get the conversation going. As with most Nigerians, I do imagine, and even lots of other persons in the international community, in the Committee of Nations, Serap clamored for, advocated, protested, and insisted that a ban on Twitter must be lifted by the federal government, as it was deemed an illegal one. And quite recently, about a week ago, give or take, this ban was lifted, according to the federal government, on the basis of some agreements reached with Twitter. While some persons have simply moved on, some may have deleted the VPN applications on their mobile devices that granted them access to Twitter while this ban was on, and some have simply moved on with their lives. Serap seems unable to do so, as you are threatening to go to court. I'm not sure if that case has been filed already, to demand reparations for what Serap has termed victims of the illegal Twitter ban. So, I have a few questions for you on that. First and foremost, why is Serap simply not moving on, like every other person, or like a lot of other persons have moved on, and just keep on tweeting like you have been tweeting even before now?
Thank you very much. I do disagree. I don't think a lot of things have moved on, unless you want to interpret in using Twitter after the ban was lifted as moving on. You would agree with me that a simple return of something that has been stolen from you and using the same item does not mean you have moved on. The trauma doesn't go away. The loss you suffered does not go away. And in this instance, we can't just move on, but for very important reasons. One, to make sure there is a form of reparation, which of course is provided for in our laws. And secondly, as a form of deterrent, to get guarantees that this that shouldn't have happened in the first place will not happen again. And that is why we are taking this step. Our position has been constant that this should have happened in the first place and that the ban is unlawful.
Alright, so who are the victims in this case? Who qualifies as a victim in this case?
Yeah, the victim will be anyone that has suffered from the unlawful ban. So it's naturally said in law that there must always be reparation, a cost, for those who have suffered any wrong. And in this instance, anyone that has suffered any kind of loss is entitled to compensation. And that loss may be quantified in different aspects, depending on what is lost to you and how you can prove and argue that in court. And that also will go to whatever quantum of damages or compensation you will get. So we can have the, I can give instances, for instance, a lot of Nigerians use Twitter for their own economic, for commercial purposes, for instance. They will have influencers and even average Nigerians who have gotten contracts, for instance, to advertise on various social media platforms, including Twitter, for a specific period of time. And they were not able to do that, and of course, they would do revenue. And for those who do the kind of business on Twitter, too, they would lose revenue because they would not be able to reach the desired target. And that is even hard to quantify, but it's the loss of people. And also, there are people who just lose whatever access to information they can have, simply because they cannot use Twitter. So it's a loss. And depending on the specific proof you're going to bring before the court, a victim is a victim. Now, proving that before the court and the amount of compensation you're entitled to is a different ballgame entirely, and that is strictly legal as guided and regulated by the rules of evidence in court. But it's very clear and it's something we're willing to pursue. It's a logical conclusion.
All right, Kola, like you just identified as well, some of these losses may be difficult to quantify. Some others, however, I mean, from what you said, is going to be extremely enormous. No doubt thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of Nigerians, you know, depended on Twitter, for their economic survival. How are you going to quantify this as well? And don't you think that we're talking about overly humongous sums here as far as losses are concerned?
The way it works is that if you do not identify yourself as a victim, then naturally the compensation cannot be paid to ghost or unidentified person, which is why we put out invitations to any member of the public who is a Twitter user who has suffered any loss to contact Serap, and then our lawyers will take it from there. What we intend to do as a follow-up is to have discussions with this individual to identify the nature of their laws, and then our lawyers will do the legal evidential part of making sure we're able to harmonize the evidence and be acceptable to court. You will know that the rules of evidence are a bit technical, so there are different forms and modes of evidence that we are admissible in court, but that is what we are going to present before the court ultimately. So it's not for all Nigerians at large, as it were, but for Nigerians who are users of Twitter and those who have evidence that we can present before the court to grant the claim. So it's not to everyone as it were. But I'm sure we're able to find individuals who can say a very good claim before the court. And so then we'll take it from there.
So if I get it correctly, Serap is going to be representing these individuals. Is it going to be pro bono?
Yes, pro bono, of course, at no cost to them at all. This is the interest of justice. Serap itself is a victim. It's a great victim. Yes, we are a non-government organization, and so it means we are not profit. We don't make profit. But we suffered losses too. Twitter is a very good avenue for us to do our advocacy and the various projects that we do in pursuit of transparency and accountability. We were not able to use that effectively for over 7 months. So, of course, we represent those individuals we have tried that purpose.
Now, these persons who may have been victims, who believe they may have suffered one thing or the other, one loss or the other, due to the Twitter ban that Serap wants to represent, how do they communicate their loss or their position to Serap?
So we're put out on various social media platforms for individuals to come forward, to send a mail, to write at serap.org. So when we get the email, our lawyers will contact them individually and get the nature of their losses and then work up the kind of admissible evidence that will be acceptable in court. All this will be done before filing the suit, by the way. The suit is yet to be filed. To make sure that the numbers we are taking forward are the numbers that we can sufficiently prove in court. And that, I need you to understand, it can be a bit tedious for a non-lawyer to understand the technical rules of evidence and the various technical rules that guide this kind of proceedings in court. But as many as come forward and as many as can provide evidence, we're willing to take this out in court. And it is not new. It's standard practice, both in civil procedure and even in the law of tort in court, that for any kind of wrong that individuals have suffered wrong, there must be reparation, even in criminal procedural laws that have been introduced under the Admission of Criminal Justice Law. There have been discussions of having reparations for criminal conduct. So this is normal. It is just about establishing the nature of the laws and the quantum of damages that is required before the court.
Well, are these persons going to be required to present themselves in court as witnesses?
It would depend on the nature of proof, but generally the kind of court processes that are going to be filed, they may not. Again, our lawyers will be in the best position to determine that, but they need not give physical evidence as it were. Affidavit evidence may suffice in court in this instance, in the proof of our case. But that is going to be ultimately determined by our lawyers.
All right. By the way, also, this sounds to me like a class action lawsuit. Correct me if I'm wrong. And if it is class action lawsuit, can a class action be instituted in Nigeria?
It's not really a class action. I call it something. It's not really representative. It is a mistake that isn't going to include a lot of applicants. We'll be getting people submitting their intentions now. I don't know the exact number presently, but it's not a class action. It's an action for a lot of people. So it's not really representative. So then the compensation will not be paid out to a group of people to represent a whole large group of people, but to those individuals who can prove their case and prove that they're entitled to compensation.
And what will be the nature of this of the compensation that Serap will be asking of the federal government?
It's not the financial. It's to compensate the victims for their losses. Again, the quantum will be determined within the rules of evidence in the court. But it's not hard in the real sense. It is just able to frame it within the provisions of.
Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there? All right, it is Hard Factor 90.3 Nigeria Info and here in Port Harcourt. Speaking with Kola Oluluwa Dare, Deputy Director with Serap. He joined me via phone. We're discussing Serap to sue for reparations on behalf of victims of Twitter ban in Nigeria, even though that the said Twitter ban has been lifted by the federal government now. We'll go for a commercial break. When we return, the conversation with Kola continues, and you're welcome to join via the usual platforms. Deeply stay tuned. Hard Fast, we'll be back in a bit.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Hard Factor Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dio. 27 minutes to go before 6 p.m. The major news is up at 6. But for the moment, still joined by Deputy Director with Serap, Kola Oluluwa Darius. We'll discuss Serap suing the federal government, demanding compensation for victims, those who may have lost something or the other as a result of what is deemed the illegal Twitter ban by the federal government. Kola, you're welcome once again.
Thank you,
Dan. There might be concerns on the part of those you identify or you would refer to as victims of the Twitter ban. There might be concerns on their part that maybe they might suffer even some more losses if they were to identify themselves with what this initiative of Serap at this time. Is there a possibility or propensity or a chance that they might suffer even more losses in a bid to get compensated for whatever losses they may have suffered before now?
No, I don't believe so. That threat is neither real nor possible. For the federal government of Nigeria to have banned Twitter in such a brazen way, breaking the law so brazenly, I think we should know that this government is capable of breaking other laws, and that is why we should stand for what is our right. I don't see any threat as it were. They've done what they can, and I think Nigerians are to stand up for their rights as it stands. And I don't see any government that would punish any citizen for going to court to make brilliantly. Is that not what we are all against, for those who pick up arms or engage in unlawful violence against the state, which of course no one would advocate for? And that is why the law provides for individuals who have any kind of grievance against the state to approach the court to explain their grievance. And so, and I think that's what I know that the government understands this. We get as much from the government lawyers when we meet in court. So I really don't see that playing up at all.
All right, join the conversation, if you will. The lines are open. Call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003 or 0007. We are live on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH, and WhatsApp is on 0809-030-6416. Let's see. Via WhatsApp, there's a question here. Dai, please ask your guest, which court declared Twitter ban as illegal? I'd like for you to respond to that. There's another a similar question via Twitter as well, asking Shaq's daddy tweeting, why didn't they sue while the ban was on? Now, I expect that before the court might order any compensation to be paid to anyone, the court must be convinced that the ban, first and foremost, was illegal and a violation of the rights of these persons, hence the loss that they suffered. Has Sarah been able to get any court to determine that, or would that be a part of this case as well?
Naturally, that will form part of the argument before the court, but don't forget we've been in court before now, challenging the Twitter ban, and it's coming up for judgment in just 2 days' time. But that will also form part of the issues in the suit for compensation.
Now, reportedly, I've checked out your Sarah, pardon me, on Twitter, and in the last several days since you made this announcement, there have been several persons on Serap's case and putting up all kinds of stories, and that for example Serap did go to court severally on the issue of this ban, and in one instance the court even awarded fines, I think, if you will, against Serap to be paid to government. What happened with that situation?
No, that's a different case entirely. The case we have against the government on the Twitter ban was filed at the ECOWAS court. We recall that the courts were on strike at that time. It was filed at the ECOWAS court. That case in question was before the Federal High Court. It was against the Nigerian Broadcasting Commission, challenging the legality of the directive from the NBC that media houses should deactivate their Twitter handles. That was what that case was about. That case had nothing to do with declaring, challenging the legality of Twitter ban. It was challenging the lawfulness of the directive of the NBC, whether it was within the powers of the NBC, pursuant to the National Broadcasting Code, to tell media houses to deactivate their Twitter accounts. That was what that judgment was. And we're appealing that judgment, by the way, which you think, of course, was given was not given in line with the details of the law.
Now, you say that the Serap's suit challenging the Twitter ban, you know, by the federal government, judgment will be delivered, you say, in 2 days' time. Now,
yes, the ECOWAS court.
Okay. Now, with the judgment delivered by the ECOWAS court, will that in any way determine whether or not Serap will go ahead with this other suit demanding compensation for victims of the Twitter ban?
Well, it will to a certain extent, in that it would create that legal platform, at least in terms of the legal process, to seek for compensation.
Without in any way attempting to preempt the decision that the court might reach, what if the ECOWAS court does not agree with Serap?
I'm sure our lawyers would have a strategy for that, to take care of that eventuality. But I think I choose to be optimistic in this regard, to be sure that the law is on our side, the fact is on our side. I can't see the court holding otherwise.
So how, maybe I'm listening to this conversation right now, some hypothetical person, and I'm thinking, how do I determine whether or not I'm a victim of the Twitter ban? I like what I'm hearing, I like what Serap is doing, but I don't know how to determine if I'm a victim of the Twitter ban or incurred any losses.
Have you suffered any loss? That's the question. Now, the question, and I think it's very important that you step it back. The question primarily to anybody out there is, have you suffered any loss due to the federal government ban on Twitter? If the answer is yes, please contact Sarah. Now, the proof of that loss and the quantum of the means or the calculation of that compensation is a different thing entirely. And those two things come after asking the first question. So those two things will be determined by our lawyer. You don't need to worry yourself about that. They will determine whether your loss can be, how to prove that loss, and then what kind of compensation you can prove. Okay, but the first question, we that you don't need to be a lawyer to answer that, if you suffered any loss.
All right, call.
And if the answer is a yes, then please come forward.
All right, thank you. Any final words? And particularly, once again, and I'm sure Serap should be used to this by now, many are convinced, not a few are convinced, that Serap has said again, another frivolous lawsuit that will amount to nothing. your final words?
Yes, we shouldn't give up on standing for what is right and what is lawful and what is truth, no matter how long it takes. And no matter how daunting it might be, these litigations, it's the exercise of our fundamental rights. The court have had the opportunity to agree with us several times. And the law is clear. We won't give up. And I want to tell our Nigerians not to give up, being lawful in challenging the government and holding government to account.
Kola Oluwadare is the Deputy Director with Serap. He's joined the conversation via phone from Lagos, I believe. Kola, many thanks for your time. Wish you and Serap, and by extension, all Nigerians, the very best.
Thank you very much, guys.